Over a year ago now, marijuana was made legal in New Jersey for what's called recreational use. Leading up to that decision, the debate was strong pretty much on both sides. That hasn't changed much since the deed was done. Why are there still questions? Why are there still uncertainties? Is that due to a lack of information or facts not really fully being understood? My first guest today is the principal investigator of a report that examines the many aspects of this issue. The report is Cannabis Legalization in New Jersey, a Baseline Study. He is the dean of the School of Public Affairs, Administration, Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, Newark. Dr. Charles Benefield, how are you today, sir?
I am well. Thank you for having me.
We put a link directly to the PDF. You can download the survey and the results and the report yourself and learn more about Rutgers Newark, newark.rutgers.edu. Setting out on doing this report, doctor, what was your main goal?
Well, our main goal was to create a baseline, as you pointed out, to see where the state is now on a variety of factors that are likely to be affected by legalizing recreational marijuana, where we are now, and then we can use that data to assess what changes occur over time.
And as far as putting the report together and constructing what you wanted to present, was the data and information as complete as you would have liked, or did you have to kind of make do with what was available?
No, there's a whole bunch of factors that are impacted by marijuana usage. We couldn't do everything. So in this first shot across the bow, if you will, we just looked at educational healthcare factors and public safety. But that data, there's a fair amount of data that's available, particularly on usage in general. The federal government collects a fair amount. But with respect to New Jersey, no. There's a whole lot of more specific things that we could be asking that's not readily available. And that's one of the recommendations that we made in the study, that sort of data be collected.
And as I mentioned in the introduction, it's been over a year now since the ballot question passed and Governor Murphy signed it into law. And people are asking, well, what's the delay? Well, maybe there's some good reasons for that, because when you look at, for example, the legal system, there are some pretty wide disparities among the consequences for, at least up to this point, illegal use of marijuana.
Yes, absolutely. And there's also some interesting things with respect to race, and I think this may be where you're headed. There was a decriminalization bill passed, and, of course, a lot of people were exonerated for selling marijuana, possession of marijuana. But the data is pretty interesting. For example, the number of arrests of black residents outnumber the arrests of white residents by more than five times for selling marijuana. For possession of marijuana, black residents were four times more likely to be arrested when compared to white residents. So there's some pretty big racial disparities with respect to the arrest data. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens after the retail markets open up. I read an article yesterday that said that they quoted the governor as having said that he hopes that the retail dispensaries will be open next month. So I think that's a little bit ambitious, but we'll see. The data will start coming in soon.
Although we can look at maybe another story unrelated, at least in content, but of substance, maybe you can make a connection, that mall fight between a black and a white kid. Who did the cops wind up cuffing? The black kid.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of studies and stories in the youth vicinity with respect to substance abuse and marijuana. Last week I was watching the news and there was a story from down south where the ambulance had been called to a school three times in like a two-week period because a student had passed out from substance abuse. And, you know, I thought it was, startling looking at that, because now we're legalizing a drug. We know that kids are using marijuana illegally. And now we're about to put it in a retail store and there's some expectations that it won't have an impact, but the reality is it is. That's why it's critical that we do research like this so we know exactly where we are, and then we can see where we're going to go once the retail market opens up.
Although one of the surprises, at least to me, in your report was the fact that use by youths is lower than use by those, I believe it was 24 and older?
Well, those 18 to, in terms of arrest, those 18 to 20, though they made up the, you know, the highest group. But the youth, marijuana use among youth is, has been increasing, particularly for those aged 12 to 17. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's all. I say this frequently. When you look at a survey, for example, of during election season, it's not about what the numbers say in the here and now. It's what the trend is all about.
We're trending the wrong way when it comes to youth.
Exactly. We're talking with Dr. Charles Menefield about a report that you can download for yourself and study and hopefully absorb, too, because there's some very interesting facts in this that's called Cannabis Legalization in New Jersey, a Baseline Study. He's also the dean of the School of Public Affairs Administration, Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, Newark. Newark.rutgers.edu is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. The I mentioned one disparity. What was one of the disparities in your study that's really stood out as far as an attention getter for you?
I think the public safety, the arrest data was probably the biggest piece, but I was also really surprised by some of the educational data. Now, there's nothing inherently connected between graduation rates and substance abuse in general, but one of the things, you know, New Jersey leads the country in terms of having the highest high school graduation rate and the lowest dropout rate. That's unbelievably excellent. But when you look at that data and break it down by race, we find that African Americans among those large groups have the lowest graduation rates. And when you look at the school data, you find that black youths are suspended at rates twice than any other group. We find that in-school and out-of-school suspension is much higher, and that black students are miss, you know, twice as many days out of school than any other group due to suspension. Now, when you ask the question, why were they suspended? Substance use is one of the factors that comes into play. It was the third highest infraction for those incidents. So, again, there's nothing inherently comparable between graduation rates and substance abuse, but when you start asking questions and getting down to the finer points, it certainly can play a role. You know, why aren't the rates higher? And this could be one of the things. So it's something to pay attention to. But again, the suspension rates I found to be the most startling. And again, because this is secondary data, we are not saying that the reason for those suspensions were substance abuse. What we're saying is there is a reason why the kid was suspended, and marijuana usage could be one of those things. We want to know if it goes up or down over time.
And it could also be instances where schools see a repeated use of marijuana. The first time they might say, okay, you got 2 weeks detention. Kid comes back into the office a second or third time, then they get tossed.
Right, exactly. I would agree with the tier system. But that also speaks to another point. That is that universities, high schools need to have diversion programs. Like the state should be thinking about other mechanisms and not using the hammer every time a kid is caught making a mistake. There has to be diversion program. There has to be a marketing program. I know there's a bill that's being considered, at least it was a couple of weeks ago, talking about whether or not it would be permissible to put, you know, DARE-like programs in the schools. That is, don't use drugs. Drugs are bad. And basically have these conversations with elementary and middle school children. And I think that's a great idea. They need to be exposed to what drugs are and the harmful effects of drugs.
And certainly have it done more than once a year, which is typically the case now. Once every spring, the DARE officer comes in, and the students basically look at it as a way to get out of class for a couple of sessions.
Right. I think it's going to be a little bit more sophisticated than that now.
When you look at, as your report did, the Public Health and Behavioral Services and use of cannabis in New Jersey, are the trends in admissions to treatment facilities on the rise? Because one can assume if marijuana becomes more accessible to more people, then that is an element of healthcare that's got to be prepared, too, for all this.
Right. That's a great, great question. Excuse me. That's one of the things that we looked at specifically. We took all of the counties in the state and basically asked the question, what does suicides look like in your county? What does drug overdose look like in your county? And we found that the counties in the southern part of the state had much higher drug overdose levels, as well as, you know, higher levels of suicide. We mapped the number of mental health facilities in these areas and found over time that the number of mental health providers in the southern part of the state has decreased. So despite having increasing numbers of overdoses and suicides, the number of treatment facilities is going down. So, you know, again, by legalizing recreational marijuana, logic would suggest that some of these data is not going to change, it's going to continue to increase. Hence, it behooves the state to ensure that they have properly prepared for this eventuality, particularly in the southern states.
That could be one of the most, and that was another surprise, too, where you would, I guess the naive assumption would have been the northeast part of the state would have been the higher rates of use and arrests, all related topics, but southern New Jersey, maybe because there's a stronger pipeline from Philadelphia to New Jersey than there is from New York to New Jersey, that the truth is actually quite the opposite. The report is very informative, very, very eye-opening. As they say, cannabis legalization in New Jersey, a baseline study. We've posted a link directly to the PDF so you can download it and read it, learn from it. Certainly share it with your community leaders, your school administrators, all points were, because it really does concern a variety of points. And I'm judging, Dr. Minifield, from your talk, this is just the first in a series of reports that you're planning on doing, at least.
Exactly. We're hoping that either the New Jersey Policy Lab or the Attorney General's Office or some other state entity actually funds the next iteration of this study. We'd like to expand it a little bit to some other areas that we couldn't examine here. And we also like to do some primary data collection. If you really want to know what's going on, you know, for example, in the school system, you have to talk to the teachers. You have to talk to the principals. You have to talk to the coaches, even the kids, and just ask them, like, what's going on? Are you, you know, do you think that it's, you know, drug use is going up? We can ask teachers about suspensions, disciplinary problems in the school, performance on the field, all of those kinds of questions can and should be asked. Similarly with the police, you know, ask the police about, you know, their interaction with people that they're pulling over, et cetera.
Please spend some time on this report because it is going to make you think about things you probably should not, haven't been thinking about, but certainly should be. And we've been joined with the Dean of the School of Public Affairs Administration of Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, Newark, Dr. Charles Minifield. The website, by the way, newark.rutgers.edu. Doctor, thanks so much for this work and the work still to come, because it is going to be very helpful, useful material and knowledge for all people concerned with this issue, whether they know they're going to be connected to it or not. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Chris, for having me. I appreciate the time.